My guest today is Brandon Ridenour. Brandon is one of the trumpet players from Canadian Brass. They will be in concert on Sunday, March 15th at 4 o'clock at the Great Lakes Center for the Arts in Bay Harbor. Hi, Brandon. Thanks for joining me today.
Nice to be here.
Brandon, you are a Michigan native. We did some concerts together years ago in Grand Rapids with your dad, Rich, who is a very fine concert pianist, and you were just about to start with Canadian Brass, and everyone was very excited about that, and I believe at the time you were the youngest member ever to join Canadian Brass. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's what they say, and that's what I've been told. I was far too young to be joining such a prestigious group, but I also couldn't say no.
And now you are coming back to Michigan, to Northern Michigan, to the Great Lakes Center for the Arts in Bay Harbor. It's a spectacular venue. You will love it there.
Yeah, we're looking forward to being there.
Yeah, and I'm hoping some snow will melt in your honor, too, because there's plenty of it up there.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, I'm afraid we won't be able to come. So if we can melt the snow beforehand. No, I mean, between Canada and Michigan, I'm plenty used to the snow. It's fine. We'll still play the concert if it's still there.
Yeah, well, Canadian Brass is celebrating its 50th season. 50th season. Wow. Started in 1970 by Gene Watts, the trombone player, and Chuck Dahlenbach, the tuba player, who is still with the group. What do you think has been the secret to the staying power, the longevity of Canadian Brass?
I know. I can't believe it's been 50 years already. It's just flown by. You know, I can't speak personally to having been in the group for 50 years, of course. But I think that the secret is to love what you do, because when you're in love with something, time just really flies by and you don't really even think too much of it. It becomes much easier to do just about anything when you're really in love and passionate about what you're doing.
And it's so obvious to anyone who has ever seen or heard Canadian Brass that you all love what you do. Now, the brass quintet, the ensemble, two trumpets, horn, trombone, and tuba, it's certainly not a new combination of instruments, but it seems that Canadian Brass really put that instrumentation on the map 50 years ago. There have been other quintets that have become famous, but not like Canadian Brass. Not only the excellence, the musicianship, but also the rapport that the group has had with the audience over the years, and the varied repertoire. I think that's been really amazing about Canadian Brass.
Yeah, it's all those things that really made this music have accessibility to listeners. Certainly there were other groups, Chicago, New York Brass, American Brass Quintet. They were all doing the thing before Canadian Brass, playing in a brass quintet. But as you mentioned, with all of those things that Canadian Brass really exercised, we were able to play music and convey it and communicate it to an audience very directly and clearly. All happened before me, but it's still, of course, continuing on. And that is sort of the main principle behind every program we do. We don't want to leave our audience in the dust. We want to bring them along and show and tell them why this music's so great, so that they can love it too.
Well, tell us a little bit about Sunday's program.
Well, as is typical with a program, it's quite diverse. Everything from Bach to the Beatles and in between. Of course, it's also Beethoven's 250th anniversary year, so we're playing some Beethoven, an arrangement of mine, for release with variations on it. There are some newer things, some Beatles songs. There's a brand new arrangement that I've done called Right Now that I did in the past, but we'll be playing Right Now in the future when we're there in Michigan. The song Right Now is by a band called The Dirty Projectors. And the guy in this band who wrote this song, his name is David Longstreth. They're actually based in Brooklyn, where I am right now, and this is part of the other thing about Canadian Brass is that we don't continue to just do the same pieces over and over in classical music and jazz, but we like to play more current and popular things mixed in our program as well.
Yes, you're always building the repertoire, aren't you?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. We have to, we have to keep ourselves interested and current as well. That's really important.
Now, you mentioned some of these are your arrangements. Do you do a lot of arranging for the group?
I do. Pretty much all of my downtime I spend, if it's up to me, if I have some free time, my hobby is arranging and composing music. That's one of the number one things that I love to do. So, yeah, there's quite a bit of the program where I've arranged things for it.
And are you going for, in your arrangements, a certain sound for the Canadian Brass, specifically for Canadian Brass?
Yeah, I'm always envisioning the people in the group that I'm writing for. But then also there's kind of that Canadian Brass arrangement sound. Mm-hmm. What is going to have a sort of element of showmanship, an element of the kind of theater and drama to the arrangements. So I like to take things kind of one step further from just doing a straight up transcription of a piece and putting an extra fusion spin on it.
Yeah, and it's nice to know exactly who you're writing for and what they can do.
Yeah, exactly.
So over the 50 years, the personnel of Canadian Brass has changed. Aside from the obvious answer of practice a lot, how do you become a member of the Canadian Brass? Do you have to audition? Are you handpicked?
That's a great question. Usually it is it's a combination of things. There are often just people that we come in contact with along the way. We do a lot of traveling, a lot of playing with other people. We even hark back to school. So in the case of my trumpet counterpart, Caleb, who's also has a Michigan connection, he went to the Interlochen Academy for his end of high school before he went to Juilliard. And that's where we met, at Juilliard. We had the same two teachers while we were there. And even the previous trumpet player, Chris Galletti, is also a Juilliard grad, and we all actually overlapped at Juilliard. There's one year where all three of us were there together. So there are definitely those connections that go way back, and then just ones that are kind of made along the way, and then we have things fit in the group, how the chemistry is.
Yes. And then, of course, once you're in, you have to learn the secret handshake, right?
I still haven't learned that.
Oh, no.
I must still be on trial.
We better take care of that on Sunday. I'll talk to the other guys for you, okay?
Okay.
So who are the other members of the group currently?
Well, as I mentioned, Caleb Hudson is the other trumpet player. Mm-hmm. Achilles Liarmakopoulos not Canada, of course. He's from Greece originally. He's our trombonist. Jeff Nelson, also Canadian, true Canadian, but he teaches at Indiana University. He's our hornist. And then, of course, Chuck Dahlenbach, the original tubist of Canadian Brass.
Now, you mentioned that you do other things. Do the other members of the group do other things too, teach and compose, arrange?
We all do a variety of different things. Two of us do quite a bit of teaching. I don't do nearly as much teaching. I have a very part-time position at the Manhattan School of Music. And for me, I tend to focus more on the programming and writing music side of Canadian Brass and various other things as well. But we all have kind of different other musical hobbies and roles that we serve within the group as well.
Well, and of course you record so much. I believe Canadian Brass has nearly 140 recordings.
Yeah, it's it's been quite the trek. Averaging at least two recordings a year, and then you have situations where you're collaborating with other ensembles and guesting, which might not amount to a full album each time, but it's definitely been a group that's stayed busy with recording every single year since it's been around.
And, you know, those recordings have influenced so many brass players over the years, including me.
Yeah, you know, just the other day I was giving a lesson to a student from China, and he was saying, "You guys have to come back to China. You're so huge there. You haven't been there in too long." So it's really amazing the reach and influence this group has had all over the world.
Yes, although you may not be going to China anytime real soon, unfortunately.
Yes, I've heard.
One thing you mentioned about Canadian Brass is the level of showmanship. You do so much more than play music. There are some other things going on stage sometime. What are some of the most outrageous things you've done as a member of the Canadian Brass?
I know. We really have to get this under control. We want people to take us seriously, you know. Don't clap between movements, you know. Make too much noise. No, I'm joking.
Don't cough during the concert.
Otherwise, we'll start the piece over. No, it's not that at all. We of course like to play music and serve the purposes of music and, you know, play things by great composers, Bach, Beethoven, Mozart. But on the flip side, we also like to have portions of the show where we, yes, get to play music, but do something a little weird and wacky to it to kind of bring out the humor of a lot of pieces. So yeah, we do have some sketch musical comedy pieces. We do we've done a version of Carmen where we've acted out certain roles that might not be true to the original Carmen. It also might involve cross-dressing. We have a tribute to the ballet where we attempt to, well, be ballerinas and ballerinos while playing our instruments. It's particularly impressive when a tubist does a plié. In December, we have a new sketch musical comedy piece that I've written called The Canuck Cracker, which is based on the Nutcracker, but of course taking place in Canada.
In Canada, yes.
It's actually the original story of, that Tchaikovsky stole, is how we like to present it.
The real story, yes, yes.
It's the real story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So not only do the five of you have to be top-notch virtuoso musicians, you have to do a little comedy, too.
Yeah, well, fortunately, we have a lot of time driving the cars on the road, and often we'll listen to stand-up comedy podcasts to find things that, you know, what really lands.
Well, the other thing is, as you know, brass players are just fun people.
You know, I guess they can be. Thank you. That's I'll tell the other guys.
Brandon, what do you love most about playing with the Canadian Brass?
Well, we still get to somehow. We've fooled these incredible venues and presenters into having us over and over. We're very lucky to get to play in really fantastic concert halls all over the world and see the world while doing something that, you know, is also not a bad thing to do, getting to play music. So I think all in all, I think everyone else in the group would agree that we're very fortunate to get to have these concerts, really no matter what they are, that people actually show up to listen to us and have this shared experience. And we get to do that here and there and everywhere and see some things along the way. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, and you've been doing that for 50 years, or the group has been doing that for 50 years, and hopefully for 50 more and 50 more after that, too.
Yes, we shall see what the future holds.